Hello everyone, how are you today? You doing okay? Well, we've certainly moved closer, haven't we? And that's good. We should be close as a church, I suppose. But welcome to church today. You know, I had a bit of a fiasco this morning, and what I'm going to speak to you about was really put to the test. So I had what's called technical issues, and I went to print out my final copy of my sermon, and Word was not responding. I was getting the spinning wheel, and I was like, oh dear. So I bit the bullet and I took a gamble, force quitted the application, and then it recovered my document. Praise the Lord. Unfortunately, I don't have slides for you today, but yeah, so today we're going to be speaking about out of Galatians 5. So for those of you who brought your Bibles, if you just want to turn there, we're going to read there. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to read the whole chapter. It's not a big one. Well, what we might do, I might just read it first. We can always come back to it. Okay, who's got the Bibles with me? Give me a wave. Nice. It's like a ballad at a concert on the phones. Okay, so I'm going to be reading from the ESV today. And so read along with me, not out loud, just in your heads. Chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again that every man who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And our brethren still preach, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offence of the cross had ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would go even further and cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, but only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbour as you love yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. So, as most of you will know, probably all of you will know by now, I've gone back to my trade and I've been working I've been working in a metal fabrication shop in Welsh Pool for the last month, and it's gone really quick, actually. To say it's gone a month is actually quite crazy. And the first 2 weeks of it were quite a whirlwind. Like, it was almost like, it was almost surreal to not be working in the office anymore and working back in the workforce. But in the last 2 weeks, what I've found is that there's been quite a change in me, both in, you know, body and mind. And I've had these questions start to come up about, like, this message that we've heard all year about purity and seek my face, you know, all of these things. How do we go about applying this in a different context? See, for the last 5 years, I've had the privilege of spending all my time with you fine people, which means that I've had these prerequisites that I'm speaking to Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led Christians. And now, that's not necessarily the case anymore. You know, there may be people who don't believe what I believe. There are people who don't hold the same values as me. There are people who don't have the same point of reference. And even, they don't speak the same language. Because a lot of the words we use are not even in their vernacular. Have you ever noticed? And so this word about purity, how do we apply this? How do we preach the gospel in this setting has been a question of mine in the last little while. And God took me back to this scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, because this was actually one of the scriptures that set the whole ball rolling for purity in the first place. And so we're going to talk about that today. And what I guess, you know, because the season of preaching on purity is actually wrapping up. We're starting a new season on preaching. I'm sure the season of purity is not finishing altogether. And nobody said amen. That's probably going to keep going, but it's a good thing. It's just a hard thing. But so I really wanted to preach today. And I thought, you know, like the purified life, what does that look like out there in action? And how do we preach with our lives is what I want to talk to you about today. Amen? So, let's have a look here in Ephesians chapter 5. It tells us that we need to be in step with the Spirit. Amen? So, in your life, What God is requiring of you is that you have this tug of war going on in your life. Who knows what I'm talking about the Spirit and the flesh. The flesh is pulling you one way, the Spirit's pulling you the other way. And what God's asking us to do here is to stay in step with the Spirit, not the flesh. Okay, and everyone's going, duh, that's pretty obvious. But what I find is something that we all do, is that to how we go about that is what we try and do is fight our flesh. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to be envious. I'm shield myself from that. I'm going to do all these things because I want to be in step with the Spirit. But what the Bible actually tells us to do is to draw near to the Spirit of God. It's to draw close to God. And that's how you fight the flesh. See, because as you draw near to Him, as you draw near to God, what happens is you start to pull away from your flesh. Amen? You see, because if we try to fight your flesh the whole time, you're doing it in your own strength, you're doing it in your own works. But God says it's really simple. Since we are saved by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we're going to cleave to the Spirit. And as we do that, we find ourselves changing on the inside. Who can say amen? Who knows what I'm talking about? So the objective is not really to fight the flesh. It's not. It's actually to just surrender yourself to God and allow Him to change you. Amen? So the evidence that you're living a Spirit-filled life is what? Who can tell me? The fruit. Bang on, Connor. I want to just go to verse 22 here, where it says this. The fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we think about the fruits of the Spirit as if they're nine separate attributes that we have to work on. But I see this here. It says the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's similar to say, so if we say that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are the fruit of the Spirit, it's like saying that, I've got these written down because I always forget them, ripeness, size, color, sweetness, fleshiness, juiciness, and hardness are characteristics of the apple. Amen? Yeah, you get what I'm saying here today is that you see these, you see an apple tree and you don't see apples, oranges, pears, plums growing off it. You see apples growing off it and you see the characteristics of an apple are those things. Amen? So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit in your life, we're not talking about nine things that you have to work on. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, say amen if you agree with me. So you can try, and we often do, we can try to develop like one or two of these things, you know, like you might be good with patience or you might be good with kindness, but, you know, you struggle when it comes to joy or you struggle when it comes to peace and you go, right, I'm just going to go and I'm going to be happy all day. I'm going to, you know, actually those were probably a bad example, but, you know, it's probably patience is one we often struggle with. You know, on the road and the road rage and, you know, when you're dealing with people who are hard to deal with, and you go, right, I'm going to work on being patient. And that's not a bad thing to do, by the way, but it's not a Christian endeavor. It's not a Christian endeavor to work on your patience in the sense of trying to work on the fruit of the Spirit. It's much more better to cleave to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to change you in His presence. Because as you work on your patience, that's striving and that's works. And that ultimately gets you nowhere. It gets, you know, it makes you a better person. It's better to be patient than to be abrupt. But it's not going to get you where you're going, developing the fruit of the Spirit today, amen? And I want to notice one thing is that there's nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, and they all have to do with the inner reality of your life. Have you noticed that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're all inner realities. They're not behaviors or attitudes. And I think it's interesting to notice this is because the Holy Spirit is far more interested in what's going on inside you than actually what you're doing on the outside. Your inner reality is more important than your ministry or your works. Do you know that? I mean, we read this week, just yesterday actually, Matthew 5. Matthew 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, he says in Matthew 5:17. He says, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I'll tell you, don't be angry with your brother. Murder, angry with your brother. You've heard it say, do not commit adultery, but I say, if you lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You've heard it say, don't break an oath, but I say, don't make oaths. Yes is enough. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and I say, turn the other cheek. You see, when Jesus came, and you know, we've come to the end of 2 Chronicles, and we've recapped the whole of the Old Testament here, and you know, the author makes a point. He sort of, if you notice in 2 Chronicles, it seems like there should be an extra chapter in there. Sort of finishes on half a sentence. And I think he did that on purpose to say, like, this is not the end of the story. There was a promise of the coming king, the coming Messiah, who was going to be like David, but sort of be like a second Moses too, who was coming to deliver us from our sins, to give us new divine teachings, to end slavery, you know, and to make a new covenant with God. All the things that Moses did in Jesus, who's come to renew this thing. And Jesus comes along and says, the way we were doing it was fine, but there's actually a better way. In fact, it wasn't fine, but there's a much better way. So in us today, I want to talk about this because when we talk about purity, it's more than what we do. It's more than what we say. It's more than what we think. It's about the reality that's inside your heart and whether or not the Spirit of God is leading your life or not. Amen? That's where purity really comes from. To change our behaviors, to change our attitudes, to to go and be these things that we want to be. I mean, who doesn't want to be joyous? Hey, who doesn't want to have peace in your life? I do. I want to be joyous. I want to be peace. I want the fruit of the Spirit to bear in my life. And so the point I'm trying to make today, and this is important, is that these nine characteristics are of one fruit. And so if they're some are developing and some aren't, it's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's something else. It's not a bad thing. But God, when you cling to His Spirit and you pull away from your flesh, you should be seeing all of these things. Amen. Because this is important to me, because, you know, I need to know where, how can my life preach a message now? You know, because for the last 5 years, my function in the body has been to equip the saints for the works of service. But now between the hours of 6 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., I'm one of those saints going out to do the service. And it doesn't matter if you work in a metal fab shop in Welshpool or a car yard in Wangarra or a mine site in the Pilbara, or if you're a student at Butler College or whatever you do, where you are, that's your mission field. Amen? Because Mark 16 tells me this, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Amen. And so I want to know, I've got all these words I can say to Christians and help them to equip. I know how to get in there with people who already believe the same thing that I believe. I know how to sort of call on this thing because I know it holds weight in your life. And so it should. If you call yourself a Christian, this thing doesn't hold weight in your life, bad news. You're not a Christian. But when I go out there into the world, it's not the case. I can't refer back to this. They think this is fiction. They'll refer to Harry Potter, and that literally has happened to me. Patience, Lord, fruit of the Spirit. So how do we preach a message to these people? How do we reach them? And I think it's this, is that the fruit of the Spirit must be so great in your life that it affects you in a way that people notice. Amen? You've got to let your life preach. So this is the type of person you'll be if the fruit of the Spirit is abounding in your life. You will love everyone, including your enemies. Your joy will be infectious and your presence will change the atmosphere of the rooms you walk into. You'll be a person who doesn't complain or freak out when bad things happen, and you're not supposed to be under the circumstances. You got peace. You don't let people rattle you. Doesn't matter how infuriating they are or the situation is, you got patience. You keep you cool. You'll always be kind, offering the benefit of the doubt, believing the best and putting others before yourself. You'll be a person of integrity who seeks out what's right and good to do and do that. You'll be a person who can be relied upon, and people know that if you take on the responsibility, then within the best of your ability, it's going to get done. You'll know how to be gentle. Even when you give a rebuke or a correction, you can make a slap feel like a hug. And you'll be in control of yourself. That's the type of person I want to advertise Christ to the world. Amen? This is what a Spirit-filled life should look like according to Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit abounding in my life. And so before I preach any words to these people, before I try any ministry or show them teachings or something, this is the testimony I want my life to preach. Amen? So I don't want to be the person who preaches one thing with my mouth and another thing with my life. So let's look at the opposite. If it's not abounding in your life, you only love the people who are good to you and you feud with people who are not. Your mood is affected by all kinds of things. You're genuinely unhappy with life. You're a bit of a sourpuss. No joy there. You're rattled when things change and when circumstances come your way that aren't favourable. You panic. You're short-fused. You don't deal with fools well. You have road rage and you're abrupt. You look for faults in people rather than the good in a person. You say things like, yeah, they're good, but you only do the right thing when you're seen to be doing the right thing. You're unreliable, flaky, late for work. You don't correct people to help them. You correct them to be right. You have no tact. And you're more concerned about controlling other people than yourself. You make statements like, well, if they didn't do this, I wouldn't do that. You see, that's when you lack love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When they're absent from your life, that's how you know they're absent, is because you behave like that. I don't want to be a Christian in the workforce or anywhere else where I go that preaches that kind of life. Rather, I would rather not say I was a Christian. Amen? You know, could you imagine? And what it means is this, is that if my life is like this, then I'm far from being led by the Spirit. That's just the truth. And so before I think of myself as a minister or a missionary in the workplace, in my sphere, in my field, I need to take stock of what my life is preaching. Amen? Because my words aren't going to cut it. My CDs of fancy teachers aren't going to cut it. And my ministries aren't going to cut it if they see me and they see that is the life. No one's going to go, I'll have what he's having. Will they? Amen. It's quiet room today. So, I mean, I hope I'm not. Hallelujah. So, to have the Holy Spirit lead your life. And this is a good news message. This isn't condemnation. This is a good news message because it's so simple. Nobody here falls into the category of doesn't make the grade, actually. Nobody here is that. This is what's so wonderful about it, is that if you find yourself like that, then what you need to do is to let the Holy Spirit lead your life. Is all you need to do is be actively aware of his presence. Amen? That's all you need. You just need to be actively aware of God's presence in your life, and you watch the fruit grow. I'm telling you, you watch it grow. We use the term entering into God's presence a lot. You know, I don't really believe that God comes and visits us from time to time, or we conjure up his presence when we sing or we pray. I think God's presence is always there. The problem is we need to tune into it. We need to sort of just slow down a minute and tune in there and allow ourselves to be actively aware of what he's doing. And so, you know, all that takes is just positioning yourself in a place where you can hear from God. Amen? You know, like, life gets busy. We do work, we do kids, we do chores, we do hobbies, and none of that's bad. That's normal. That's good. And, you know, and it's actually normal for life to get so busy that you neglect that time with God. That's, you know, that happens to every single person. But we need to make time to actively and purposefully get in there and get some time with the Lord. It has to be something that we do on purpose. You know, and what happens when you have that, you find that all the stuff that you were doing with the work, with the kids, with the chores and the hobbies and everything else that you have to do, you start to see that your life preaches through those activities, and you become more and more aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life outside of the prayer room, outside of the worship room, when you're not reading your Bible, even when you whatever it is that you're doing, you become more and more aware of God's presence in your life. And as you do that, and all it is cleave to the presence of God, cleave to the Spirit of God, and you will separate from your flesh, that you'll see these fruits start to develop in your life. I'm telling you the truth. And that awareness of God, you know, what happened to me last night was such a beautiful illustration of this. We had some lollies on the table, an open bag of dinosaur lollies on the table. And I didn't see this. I heard it happen. But Juliet has wandered up to the table. And she's... And just as she put her hand in the bag, Tash turned around and said, "Juliet." And that's all she said, just, "Juliet." And Juliet started bawling her eyes out. She fell over because she was. I mean, we never heavy-handed with this girl ever. We're
We're gentle with her, but this tug of war is happening in her life. She knows I'm not supposed to, but I can't help myself. I'm not supposed to, but I can't help myself. And then she became aware of the presence of Mum in that situation, and she repented like that, boy. And we should be scared of God, but you know, it's one of those things, isn't it? For all the good things is all the bad things, you know, like in the same way it stops her from doing the things she shouldn't do. It makes her happy to be so, you know, sometimes I worry, she goes up to random people in the shops, starts talking to them and stuff like that. It just, you know, like if we ever took our eyes off her in a minute, she'd just wander off and start talking to people. And the reason for that is she knows, because, you know, she's, look where she's grown up. She's never had an adult do anything bad to her in the first place. You know, she's probably more afraid of children than she is of adults, because all the adults love her to bits and spoil her rotten. So she looks at adults and thinks, you know, that's okay. But when she sees adults, she feels safe. You know, when she sees Mum and she sees her hand in the bag and she knows it shouldn't be there, she also feels conviction. And so it's both. The loving parents thing with a child makes them feel safe, makes them feel happy, makes them feel joyous, but it also convicts them of doing right and wrong. And it's the same for us. The more we're in the presence of our loving Father, the more we feel safe, the more we feel at peace, the more we feel joy. And the sweet presence of God does all that for us. Now, this is going to look different for everybody. You know, and if, you know, and if it's not happening for you in your life, it's just you're not going to be leading a spirit-led life. If you're not getting that time with God, it's impossible that you are living a spirit-led life. It just is. So it's going to look different for everybody, getting that time there and getting that time to tune in to God. You know, we start the service upstairs at 9:30 in the prayer room. 10 o'clock, we have worship down here. And both those times, we try to facilitate an environment where you can be conscious of God's presence. And that's a great place to start. And if that's all you manage in a week, that's better than nothing. But a spirit-filled life can only get better from there. The more time you say, all right, God, I've got 5 minutes. I want to spend some time with you, God. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And look, it may be the case that I struggle to get into the presence of God. Well, you know, sometimes we neglect God for a long time. We neglect his presence for a long time. And then we think, you know, I'm just going to come sit down and go, okay, God, speak to me. Let me feel your presence. You know, and I mean, it's not how it works sometimes. Sometimes you have to say, God, I'm sorry. I've been here. I've said, sorry, God. Sorry for neglecting time with you. Sorry for neglecting your presence. And instantly you're forgiven. But the intimacy doesn't come immediately. You've got to wait. You've got to wait and you've got to linger in his presence. I mean, it's the same as if you've sort of neglected your wife for a long time, talking from the perspective of a man. And you know, you've been off doing all the things you've wanted to do, and she's been waiting for your attention, waiting for your attention, waiting for your attention. And you come in one night and you go, I'm here. She's going to say, go away. You know, you need to put that time in. And so maybe today there's this thing where some of us need to do that, where we need to say to God, look, I'm sorry for how things have worked out. Sorry for how I've let this go so long. I want to start to make a conscious effort to do this. And you know, I found that it's been my practice in the last little while. I always try to get to work a bit early. And I'm the first one there anyway, by a long shot. But I try to get there a bit early to spend some time in the presence of God. And the truth is for me is that I'm 5 years out of practice and I'm saying, God, help me today because I'm sore, my brain doesn't remember, my hands seem to remember, but I need to be as good as the next guy. you know, and that type of thing. But as I've been there a bit longer, I've started to pray, bless this business, bless the guys who run it, bless the people I work with. I pray for the business, and I sit and I wait, and I'm in God's, I'm in God's presence. And I find that on days where I do that, I don't know if I get more or less done, but I'm very chill that day. I'm very happy that day. I'm very, like it's a good day. But if I, and it starts the night before, if I get to bed too late, I wake up a bit late, I need to get fuel, and I'm rushing to work, and I get in there, I don't have that time with God, then I find that I'm on edge. It feels like I'm trying to catch up all day. You know what I'm saying? And so the presence of God in your life is what I'm talking about. So can I get the musos to come back up, actually, because what I want to do in a minute is what I want to say is this, is that, if you're not living a spirit-led life, then you won't be beating death or sin, and you won't be breaking chains in your own life, and so you definitely won't be breaking chains in other people's lives, church, and, we want to start extending this kingdom, amen? And even reading the Bible, Vane, I said it today, is that sometimes even reading the Bible, although even reading the Bible as a mental exercise isn't a bad thing, can sometimes just be a mental exercise rather than a spiritual one. So we have to find a way that works for you and for me to get in tune with the Spirit of God. So what I want to do is put the ministry down for a second. I look out at across this room and I see a room full of ministers. I see a room full of people who have gifts and talents and abilities, and they're equipped to prophesy, to lay on hands, to heal, to lead, to manage, to minister, to preach, to worship, to do all these things. I see a room full of people who have all of these things. And I think, I'm going to read this bit again where it says this. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. I think circumcision was a mark on the outside to say, I'm part of this group here. And Paul, what he's trying to say is, he says, if you do that, then fine, but you have to keep the whole law. And the whole point of the new covenant is that no one can keep the whole law. So Jesus died. He paid the price for your sins so that you could have his presence, so that he could resurrect you in your daily life. And he's saying, if you try and work your way into heaven, if you try and minister your way into heaven, if you try and get enough notches on your belt, enough people into church, enough people up the front for an altar call, if you try and get enough pastoral visits, if you try and give enough prophetic words or banish enough demons, if you think that that's going to get you into heaven, then actually I want to remind you of what we read this morning in Matthew 7 that says, many will come to me in the last days saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? And he says, I never knew you. You see, because the only thing that gets you into heaven is the blood of Jesus. And so I think we need to pay a bit more attention to the presence of God and the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Amen. Amen. Let me never minister again in my life if I neglect the fruit of the Spirit this morning. There should be the cry of our hearts. We want to be pure. Who you are is more important to God by far than what you can do for him. And what goes on in here determines what comes out of here. These rivers of living water should flow into you. No, they should flow out of you. And so your ministry in your workplace, your ministry in your school or wherever you go, to your family who are unsaved, or to your friends who are unsaved, comes from them seeing the Spirit work in your life, eating that fruit, drinking that living water that's in you. So today, I read out these two lists of what it looks like to be a Spirit-filled Christian or spirit-led Christian and to be a Christian who's not spirit-led. And we all have days when we're on both sides of that list, all of us. But today I just want to invite the worship team to play something, and I want to invite you just to try tune in to God. However you need to do that, whatever you need to do, if you need to go and walk around at the back, if you want to come and sit on the floor, if you're happy to do it in your seats, that's up to you. Try tuning into God today and let Him speak to you. And let Him show you where are you as far as the fruit of the Spirit is concerned. Not just one or two of the characteristics, but the fruit of the Spirit. How is it blooming in your life? How's it blossoming in your life? No condemnation here if it's not going well, because the simple answer is this, is you say, sorry God that I've neglected time in your presence. Can you please forgive me? Can you please come and minister to me right now? That's the promise, is that's what He wants from you. That's what He wants for you. That's what He's willing to deliver. And so today, Heavenly Father, I just ask, Lord, that there be no distractions in here. There be no blockages. And Nathan gave a word and said that there's ears to be healed today. And so if you actually have a physical ailment with your ear, let me just encourage you, put your hand on your ear right now. And if you see someone with a hand on their ear, just put your hand out, reach out to them. I want to pray for that. But I'm also going to pray for the spiritual ears to be open. Danny had a word and said that there's people here struggling to hear from God. And so today I want to pray for your spiritual ears too. If you struggle to hear from God, and I pray, as what came through in the prayer room, that the waterfall out of heaven would just burst its banks. It would run over and run out and into your life. You'd be full of that living water. So Heavenly Father, I just pray, Father, for ears today. Lord, for people who struggle with blocked ears, people who struggle to hear, people who struggle with earache or any kind of inflammation, I just pray, Father God, right now that your healing power would come and visit upon them. I speak to those ears in Jesus' name and say, by His stripes we are healed. And I say, be well in Jesus' name. Be well in Jesus' name. And I pray also for spiritual ears who struggle to hear the voice of God, who struggle to feel the presence of God, who struggle to tune in to the presence of God. I say today, Father God, please do what you need to do there. Please go and help. Please go and visit these people in a tangible way. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I'm going to let the band play. And I'm going to ask you just to sit and try and tune into God's presence today.